everybody, and welcome to the Bearcat Coaches Show, live from Carson Sports Grill in Maryville. I'm Rodney Harris, being joined by the voice of the Bearcats, now in his 28th year, John Coffey. Please give John a nice round of applause here. And also our Bearcat sideline reporter, Matt Brown, right over there. Give Matt a nice round of applause, too. How about those Bearcats last week, folks? Now, we've got a little bit smaller crowd, so you're really going to have to get into this today. It's been virtually sold out the last 3 weeks, so be sure you interact with us. Give us some noise out there. You know, when talking about the Bearcats from last week, Bearcat football gets a big 37-13 win over the University of Nebraska Kearney last week. Todd Adolf was named the MIAA Special Teams Player of the Week. 3 field goals in that ball game for Todd, 28, 41, and 44 yards for the Bearcats. Sergio De Villalchez, boy, that's hard to say 3 times quick, was the ITA singles champ and advances to the ITA Small College Championships in the Northwest tennis team. Northwest soccer beat Missouri Western in overtime with a Elizabeth Waldy game-winning goal against, you guessed it, Missouri Western, which is a big deal. And the Northwest volleyball team plays well this past week. They have an 8-5-1 overall record, and they are undefeated in the MIAA at 4-0 so far this year. It's been a great week of Bearcat sports, and it's family weekend this weekend at Northwest. We invite you to come out to all the activities. John will be telling you a little bit about all the activities that will be going on surrounding family weekend. It will be a great time to be a Bearcat. Tonight we're pleased to have Bearcat coaches Tracy Hosa. Also, we have Mark Rosewell and Adam Dorrell on the show. And our student athletes come from the Bearcat tennis program tonight. A lot for you in this show this evening. Please don't forget, your servers will give you a question and answer card. If you would like to interact with the coaches right at the end of the show, we always have a Q&A, and we'd be more than glad to hear your questions. And the coaches are real excited about that portion of the show where they're able to answer your questions. So make sure you give your server those cards and get them back to us, and we'll have those questions to the coaches near the end of the show. We'd also like to thank Jim and Amy Gerken of the student body right here in Maryville. They are graciously providing a lot of freebies. We have prizes to give away tonight. We'll do that a little bit later. But we do want to thank the student body for those prizes, T-shirts, and caps that we're going to be giving away tonight. We also want to thank Carson Sports Grill for hosting this event and their entire Carson's family. These servers work really, really hard to make sure you're having a good time. When we come back, we'll have John Coffey, now in his 28th year as voice of the Bearcats, and his visit with Bearcat head soccer coach Tracy Hosa. We'll be back in 1 minute. You're listening to the Bearcat Coaches Show live at Carson Sports Grill right here on KXCV, the flagship station of the Bearcat Radio Network.
Support for this Bearcat sports broadcast comes from Carson Sports Grill, located at 310 North Main, offering lunch and dinner meals for dine-in or carry-out. Carson's, featuring a selection of sandwiches, appetizers, and more. For more information, call 582-2699.
Support for the Bearcat Radio Network comes from Vaquero & Herzog, REMAX First Choice Real Estate of Liberty, Missouri, specializing in residential and commercial property in North Kansas City. More information available at 816-806-7777.
This Bearcat broadcast is brought to you by Bolin Auto and Truck Parts. Services include brake and suspension work and driveline facility. Bolin Auto and Truck Parts, family-owned since 1951, located at 10th and Mitchell in St. Joseph, 800-292-6546.
Bearcat Radio Network broadcasts are supported by the Compass Dental Group. Dr. Bruce Twaddle and Dr. Brian Viertaler at 231 East Summit Drive in Maryville. More information available at CompassDentalGroup.com.
This Bearcat broadcast is brought to you in part by the Northwest Alumni Association. Contributions to the Alumni Association support the Northwest Foundation and its educational opportunities for students. For more information, call 562-1248.
And welcome back to Carson Sports Grill in downtown Maryville. I'm John Coffey, and we want to welcome to our microphones now the head coach of the Northwest Missouri State women's soccer team, Tracy Hosa. And Tracy, good to have you back here again this week.
Well, thank you for having us here. Appreciate it.
Tracy, a good week for you last week, especially in the matchup that you had on last Friday, a victory over Missouri Western. You went to overtime, a 1-0 victory over the big rival, Missouri Western, down there. And again, congratulations on a good win and a good conference win for you.
Yes, absolutely. It went to overtime. I thought it was just regular soccer time. it was a good win on the road. Our first three games of the MIAA have been on the road. And also it's a great win over Missouri Western. Pretty close game, back and forth. Missouri Western, a lot better than what they were last year, more organized. And, you know, our players in every half, and we had four of them because it did go into double overtime, played better as every half went on. And had that fight in them towards the end. And a fantastic goal, great free kick taken by a freshman defender, Elizabeth Lee. Put it in the back, penetrated their defense, and their defense miscleared it. And then Beth just came out of nowhere, a great volley, and that was a fantastic goal and a great 3 points on the road for the MIAA.
And when you talk about winning a game such as that, a hard-fought game such as that, what does that do for a team that we talked about last week that's a very young team, but a team where you go on the road, a big rival such as Missouri Western come away with a win? Just tell us a little bit about what that does for your squad.
You know, we've been down on three games now. We've been on the road, and two of them, we weren't down against Mo West, but we've come back and won them. Not only did we win the game, but it was a shutout, which is what we really needed, and the back four needed that. And to understand that it's always, you're always concentrating and you're always working hard, and things don't come easy. And the game is a lot quicker than what it would be in high school. There's a lot more pressure on you than what there would be in high school on and around the ball. So they're learning more experiences as they go on. And it was just great to shut out Moore West and not leave in any goals. And they did a great job, the back line.
And also, I think it shows that the team has a lot of fight in them right now, that they don't give up.
Yeah, no, that's one thing we've got to learn from day one is, you know, we have a philosophy or a saying, and it's chain. And the end part of the chain means never quit, never switch off, and never give up. And we don't care if we have a bad pass or a bad tackle or we didn't win a head ball, as long as we never give up and we fight again. And that's this group, you know, they never want to give up.
Now, again, after that matchup, you were able to return home on Tuesday. A tough loss there to a Graceland University team that's off to a good start this year. They're now 9-2 and came in nicely ranked in NAIA play. Talk a little bit about the way that game went for you.
You know, I think we were still on the road. We really didn't come back that day. It might have just been lack of preparation. Coming out and playing with a couple of players, we didn't play well as an overall team. The score, you know, shouldn't have been 3-0 or 3-1. You know, we outshot them. We just didn't kind of combine and come together as a team. And, you know, it showed in the results. However, you know, it was one game that you could say, all right, we were off. And we talked about that in practice yesterday. Yesterday was like, we didn't lose a game, we won a game. And that's how they practiced yesterday and today. So that was kind of good. You talk about fight. This group will learn lessons. They're young, but yesterday was just totally insane in practice. And they did. They went out and fought. And their energy was up. So that's good to see that. And that's that fight that you need, particularly after a bad loss.
And when you talk about that game, too, I guess one of the things about that that's kind of nice is the fact that it was a non-conference game, so it doesn't count as far as the conference record there.
Yeah, I mean, it still is a game. It still goes on our record, but it doesn't count. You know, out of our three conference games, we've got 6 points, and we hope to get more this weekend. You know, that's our main focus right now, is focus on conference and focus on doing well in region.
And when you talk about this weekend, you've got two games coming up against a couple teams new to the MIAA, with Northeastern State out of Tahlequah tomorrow afternoon at 4, and then you've got Central Oklahoma Sunday at 1. First of all, let's just talk about the matchup with Northeastern State.
You know, we have played Northeastern State off and on the last 5 years, and with their new coach, Chase. He's done a good job with them, brought in a good couple of recruits this year. They're off to a great start at non-conference. They've one loss in conference, and it's against Truman, and we've one loss in conference. So it'll be a pretty similar matchup when we play on Friday. Our biggest thing is that we stay compact in defending, and we work as a team in defending. And we let the magic do the work then in the attacking.
All right, then after that, you're back home Sunday afternoon. 1 o'clock is start time. Central Oklahoma comes to town.
Yeah, new foe for us. They're actually, you know, unbeaten in conference. They beat Truman last week. We'll be interested to see how they do on the road. And they play more West on Friday, so we're hoping more West will take a point for them and tire them out a little bit. Hopefully it'll go into overtime. I just jinxed our team. And, you know, that'll definitely be a tough match for us on Sunday.
And again, that's at 1 o'clock, a couple matches out at the Bearcat pitch, and then you're on the road next Thursday, trip to Emporia, Kansas to face Emporia State.
Yep, Emporia, they're competing more than what they did last year. They took a win, I believe, from SBU or a tie on the road, so they can prove that they can play on the road. We do like going down playing there. It's nice that they're on campus now, and it'll be a good physical match for us.
And right now, as you go into this weekend's play, 4-3-1 overall, 2-1 in MIAA play. What's the biggest areas right now you'd like to see this team improve upon as you go into the two games this weekend?
Absolutely, our team defending from the forwards to midfields to the defense. We're leaving too many gaps, and our big thing is that we want to have two defenders versus one of them, and to comprehend that and to do it quickly with enthusiasm and excitement, just as you do in the attack. And we've got to nail that. We've got to do better as a team with that.
All right. Well, Tracy, thanks a lot for being with us.
Thank you.
Again,
thank you so much.
That's Tracy Hosa, the head coach of the Northwest Missouri State soccer team. Big round of applause for Tracy and her team. Then the Bearcat soccer team home this weekend. They've got a game tomorrow afternoon at 4 o'clock with Northeastern State. And then back home Sunday, 1 o'clock to start time tomorrow, or actually Sunday with Central Oklahoma again. Tomorrow start time, 4 o'clock, out of the Bearcat pitch with Northeastern State. So the two Oklahoma schools coming to town this weekend. When we come back, we'll hear from the head coach of the Northwest men's and women's tennis teams, Mark Rosewell. That's coming up right after this timeout as you're listening to the Bearcat Coaches Show on KXCV. Back to Carson Sports Grill in downtown Maryville after this timeout.
Support for this Bearcat sports broadcast comes from Carson Sports Grill, located at 310 North Main, offering lunch and dinner meals for dine-in or carry-out. Carson's, featuring a selection of sandwiches, appetizers, and more. For more information, call 582-2699. Today's broadcast is underwritten by Bearcat Lanes and Lounge in Maryville. Services include open bowling daily, lanes and cosmic bowling for all ages, as well as lane rental for special occasions. Bearcat Lanes and Lounge, located at 1803 South Main, 562-2571.
Today's broadcast is brought to you by St. Francis Hospital and Health Services in Maryville. Founded in 1894, St. Francis Hospital and Health Services provides health care for residents in Northwest Missouri and Southwest Iowa, 660-562-2600.
Today's game on the Bearcat Radio Network is brought to you in part by the Nottoway Valley Bank, serving Northwest Missouri since 1868. Services include online banking and e-bill pay at nvb.com. Locations in Maryville, Savannah, St. Joseph, and Mound City.
Welcome back to the KXCV Bearcat Coaches Show, again from Carson's in downtown Maryville, and joined now by the legendary coach of the Northwest Missouri State men's and women's tennis team, Mark Rosewell. Big round of applause for Mark Rosewell. So, Mark, how many coaches of the year is it now?
About how many years we've been doing these interviews, John?
Well, as you say, no brag, just facts, right? Mark, a heck of a weekend for you this weekend. The ITA Regional Championships held down in Springfield, Missouri. A little bit of a different format. A lot of people who follow tennis in the area probably know that in the past, Northwest has hosted either the men's or women's tournament through the years, kind of alternating every year with a lot of times Washburn. But last couple of years, both sides going together and playing down in Springfield.
Yeah, John. Actually, we started this last year having both of the genders together, because they've got such a great facility down there at Cooper. That's where they have the state tournaments for the high school, the boys and girls And it's really worked out really well the last couple of years.
And this year worked out well for your team, both on the men's and women's side.
I think we've been doing this for about 25 years, and between both teams, I think this is I'm sure it's the best performance ever.
Let's talk, first of all, on the men's side. You had a championship team coming out on the double side, first of all, a team that came through as an unseeded squad, and you just kind of put them together before the tournament, and it looks like Sergio Del Velchez and Luis Altamiris really came together as a team and rolled through and came up with the doubles championship for you.
Yeah, you know, what happened there, John, is Sergio is a freshman, so really nobody knew who he was, but actually some did know who he was because they had won the Washburn tournament the week before, but sometimes, you know, all the coaches had not seen him and so forth, and, you know, I couldn't get him a seed, which I thought, okay, you know, so we just threw him in there, and I guess they found out they should have been seeded, huh?
I guess so, and nice thing about that, you get a doubles championship there, and then on the single side, Sergio came through and made it all the way to the finals, playing a player out of Ouachita Baptist. Again, the team you defeated in doubles, also from Ouachita Baptist. But Sergio playing with a little bit of a sprained ankle through much of that match and still made a heck of a match out of it.
Yeah, he turned his ankle after the first game of the match in the finals, and actually the match ended 6-4 in the third set, which, you know, being a tennis player yourself, very, very close. And, you know, in singles, you've got to cover so much more ground than in doubles. So I thought that really hurt him, but he still almost won the tournament as a freshman, even with the injury.
And so a big tournament on the men's side. And just talk about where you go from here with the men and with the Nationals coming up.
October 10th, we'll go down to Mobile, Alabama. And that's where we'll participate with the all the regional champions. So that'll be the top eight teams in the country.
Now, on the women's side, you had a team, number three seeded team in that tournament. Camila Quesada, along with Alexis Bartek, and make it all the way to the finals before losing to a doubles team out of Southwest Baptist, but a great performance on the women's side as well.
Really great performance. I thought they overachieved, and they're getting better each time they play. And both of them had a good singles tournament and a good doubles. And I mean, they were right there. They were tiebreaker in the second set. If they get that tiebreaker, go to the third set, they got a chance. You know, anything can happen in that third set. So very, very proud of both teams.
And just overall, it seemed like it was probably as good a performance out of both teams in the ITAs in the fall that you've had in a long, long time.
Really was, because, I mean, you go right down. I mean, we've mentioned these names, but the other doubles teams, Rafael and Guy, they got to the semifinals. Now, that's 2 years in a row. So we actually had two teams in the semifinals, which nobody else had. We had some other good singles performance. Rafael beat Southwest Baptist as number one. He got to the top four in singles. And Luis had a good tournament, and really it was the whole team. Camila Quesada made it to the semifinals in singles. So, you know, I'm thinking that we're going to have a great team preseason ranking.
And that's why a lot of this was done in the fall, and then you turn around in the spring season coming up. Things look pretty good for the spring then for you.
Sure does.
And again, Mark, I appreciate you coming by and talking with us on the show. And a heck of a fall for your squad. And still some tennis to be played for a couple guys here. So.
Sure is. And, you know, you get down there and anything can happen. But you figure they're in the top eight right now. So they'll play three matches. So we'll see what happens.
All right. Mark Rosewell, the men's and women's tennis coach at Northwest Missouri State. And we're not done talking tennis. Rodney will be back and talk to a couple of players who had a great weekend down in Springfield. That's all coming up right after this timeout. Again, you're listening to the KXCV Bearcat Coaches Show live from Carson's in downtown Maryville. Back after this timeout.
Support for this Bearcat sports broadcast comes from Carson Sports Grill, located at 310 North Main, offering lunch and dinner meals for dine-in or carry-out. Carson's, featuring a selection of sandwiches, appetizers, and more. For more information, call 582-2699.
Today's game is being underwritten on the Bearcat Radio Network by national investors and Northwest alumni, RGO Smith and Greg Wilson. Services include asset protection and retirement planning, estate organization, and insurance options. National investors with a national office in Redfield, Iowa.
Today's game is underwritten by Shelter Insurance, providing auto, home, life, and business insurance, 24-hour claims assistance, and insurance protection reviews. More information from Shelter Insurance agents Dave Weigel of Maryville, Craig Thompson of Albany, and Jonathan Miller of Mound City. Today's game on the Bearcat Radio Network is brought to you in part by Mr. Goodsense in Maryville, serving sub sandwiches, hot pastas, salads, soups, and sides. Delivery service is also provided. Mr. Goodsense at 121 South Main in Maryville, 582-2368.
Hi, everybody, and welcome back to the Bearcat Coaches Show live at Carson Sports Grill in Maryville. And one of the most favorite segments so far this year has been our student-athlete segment, and we're joined by a couple of really good ones here this evening from the Bearcat tennis team. We've got Alexis Bartek first. Alexis is a 5'10 junior from Lincoln, Nebraska. She went to Lincoln Southeast High School and is majoring in elementary education. Welcome, Alexis.
Hi.
Alexis is a co-captain of the Bearcat women's team, a great student, and she just told me, I always like to find out what their GPA is, and she's a straight 4.0. Let's give her a nice round of applause for academics. And besides being a 4.0 on the academic side, she is a tremendous tennis player. Alexis, what... You know, your mom played tennis in Nebraska for the University of Nebraska. Your aunt played at the at Oklahoma State.
Yes.
What made you decide Northwest?
Well, I chose Northwest because I looked at some schools in Nebraska, but I wasn't finding like what I was looking for, and I came to Northwest. I came to tennis camp here, met Coach Rosewell and a lot of former players, and I just loved it here. I love the tennis program. I love the school. I wanted to be an elementary education teacher, and I love the education college here. So it was just the perfect school, perfect fit for me all around.
You know, it's funny that you mentioned that your first experience was a tennis team camp at Northwest. And now, from what I understand, you teach at that very same camp. Talk
yeah.
a little bit about those camps and opportunities for kids.
Yeah, I taught at the tennis camps this last summer. All 3 weeks, and it was just really weird being in that instructor position because I know about 4 years ago I was one of those campers, and so it's crazy to think that you can be in that camp and then become one of those college athletes, and it's just really cool to be able to teach those kids and show them like what skills you need to become a college tennis player someday.
For those of you that don't really realize, in the fall season, it's mostly individual competition. It'll be team competition in the spring. Talk, as John alluded to, you're coming off a really successful trip to Springfield. Talk a little bit about your game and how the season's going for you.
This fall season
yeah.
has gone really well, and I couldn't have asked for a better fall season. We had 3 tournaments, and especially just finishing off this ITA tournament, it was the best ITA that I've ever had. I've been here for 3 years, and our region changed a little bit, which made our tournament a little bit easier for us, which was nice because in the past couple years I've lost first, second round. But this year it was really exciting to make it to the top 8 in singles and make it to the finals and doubles and almost winning. And so it was just a great fall season and a great way to end with this ITA finish.
Talk about, for those of the listeners that don't really are familiar with the ITA, talk about the level of competition. It's pretty good.
Yeah, the level of competition is very good, and there were 3 different conferences there this year, and we had seen some different teams this year because our region changed. There were some Iowa teams and just Nebraska Kearney, just some schools that were not in our region in the past, so we saw new teams, and the level is also very high at this ITA. You just see a lot of tough competition.
Now, you're not going to say it. I gave you every opportunity, but you were the runner-up in doubles at the ITA. You won the doubles championship at Washburn earlier this year. You also did very well in the singles and the doubles at Truman. And so many, many accolades for Alexis so far this season. Pretty good. Congratulations.
Thank you.
Let's talk a little bit about on the education side. You mentioned you're an elementary education major. I know you're just a junior, but what's your plan upon graduation?
Well, after I graduate, I hope to go back to Nebraska and get a job there as an elementary education teacher. But otherwise, I'm just thinking of going back to Lincoln or Omaha, maybe looking in Kansas City area, just hopefully get a job.
Any particular grade level that you would prefer?
I would prefer the younger grades, first or second grade. I think I would like to teach.
Sure. On a personal side, what are some of the things besides books and tennis that you're involved with here at Northwest?
At Northwest, I am also involved in Campus Crusade for Christ, and I'm also a part of the SAC, which is the Student Athlete Council, and that's really about it for organizations. It's hard to find time between tennis and everything, so that's basically what I'm involved in.
Okay, I ask this question to every student athlete that comes along. What is one thing about Alexis that might surprise our audience here and on the radio?
Oh, let's see here. I tore my ACL back in high school, and so I was out of sports for a while, and it's been about 4 years since then, but I'm back, and now I'm completely healed and ready to go.
Okay, Alexis, let's give Alexis a nice round of applause. Alexis Bartek, one of the standouts and a co-captain of the Bearcat women's tennis team. We'll be back, and we'll visit with our other student athlete. We'll do that right after this 60-second timeout. You're in tune to the Bearcat Coaches Show, live from Carson Sports Grill on KXCV, the flagship station of the Bearcat Radio Network.
Support for this Bearcat sports broadcast comes from Carson Sports Grill, located at 310 North Main, offering lunch and dinner meals for dine-in or carry-out. Carson's, featuring a selection of sandwiches, appetizers, and more. For more information, call 582-2699. Support for today's Bearcat broadcast comes from Maryville Glass and Lock, offering 24-hour emergency service, locksmithing, auto glass, rock chip repair, storefronts, and entrances. Located at 5th and Buchanan, 582-3131, or at MaryvilleGlassandLock.com.
Northwest Missouri State Bearcat Sports on the Bearcat Radio Network is brought to you in part by the Bearcat Booster Club, assisting the athletic department in funding improvements and providing equipment for the various teams. The Bearcat Booster Club, 562-1713.
Support for the Bearcat Radio Network comes from Nottoway County Economic Development, whose services encourage people to live, work, and do business in Nottoway County, providing regional employment, health care, and educational opportunity. Nottoway County Economic Development, with more information at MaryvilleMo.org.
Welcome back to the Bearcat Coaches Show, live from Carson Sports Grill here in Maryville, and very, very happy to have now our second student-athlete guest, Luis Altamiris. Luis, nice to have you with us.
Thank you.
Now, Luis had to come a long, long ways to visit the Bearcat Coaches Show tonight, a 6'3 junior at Northwest. He hails from Barcelona, Spain. He's a transfer student from Eastern Washington University and a business economics major. Now, that guy's busy. Let's give Luis another round of applause, please.
Thank you very much.
Luis, just like Alexis, is not only a very good tennis player, but really excels on the doubles side in doubles play. He's also a great student athlete. I think his coach told me that it was a 3.72 in the spring semester. Yeah. Congratulations on the academic side as well.
Thank you again.
Luis, let's talk a little bit. I ask Alexis the same thing, but what brought you to Northwest? You started at Eastern Washington University out there on the West Coast, and now you're right here in the heart of America.
I know.
Tell us about your journey to Northwest.
It's first of all, it's really hard to be far from home. And first year I went to Washington, and I wasn't feeling like very good back there, and I decided to transfer. And the agency that brought me here, they knew Coach Roswell really good, and they talked me really good about this program and with this school. And once I came here, I literally fell in love with campus, people here, the team is great, and once I came here, I knew that I already was going to finish the school here.
So if it's not Barcelona, it's Maryville, and it's home.
It's home as well.
Okay. I will let you know that Luis won the ITA doubles last weekend in Springfield. He also won Washburn's Doubles Tournament. You won the C flight in singles at Washburn. So the season's going pretty well for you. Talk a little bit about your game and you've really had a lot of success on the doubles side.
I mean, I started this year really strong. I've been playing over the summer, so I was very confident about it. And in the double side, that's when I felt better because I met Sergio, who's a freshman, and I felt really comfortable with him. So he does feel with me also. And we, have really good compenetration, let's say. And after the first matches, we got along really good. And we practices, tournament, and when we won the doubles in Washburn, we got a lot of confidence for the ITA. Yeah. So we did really good on the ITA too.
As we mentioned, you not only excel on the doubles side, but you've really put a lot into your work into your singles play, and it's really coming along.
That's right. In the singles, I use a lot of my serve, and I try to go into the court, try to get to the volley easier with very short points, so the other guy cannot get too much rhythm. But with a strong serve in hardcore, we always play in hardcore. It's a really good advantage that you get when against the other guy.
Talk a little bit about some of your goals you have for the rest of the year. What would you like to accomplish, both individually and team-wise?
Well, for right now, my season's not over yet, my full season. So since we're going to nationals, I would like to do really good on the nationals. We're still getting ready for it. Now, these days, we go a little bit to the training room because it was a long weekend. But after that, we're still practicing a lot for the nationals. And then over the season, I wanna play number one for this team on doubles with Sergio. I wanna be part of the singles squad as well because I'm playing really good. So I'm looking forward to for sure win the conference with us, same we did last year, and then make it to the nationals because I'm very, very positive about it.
In just about every sport, people talk about confidence. How important is confidence in your game?
You know, it's very, very important because last year, for example, since it was my first year here, I was a little more nervous. I was putting so much pressure to myself, and I couldn't play as good as I'm playing right now. And this year, I kind of let myself play and enjoy tennis, enjoy playing, and it's way easier to get confidence with it because once you get a couple matches and you start feeling really good, you start feeling the rhythm, you just get the confidence and start playing well.
Well, not only does tennis take a lot of your time, but you're a business economics major, and that's a pretty tough road. What are your plans upon graduation with your business economics degree?
I'm not planning on staying in Maryville. I gotta say that, but I really want to travel a lot. I'm not thinking about going back home either. I wanna probably double major in international business and try to go to big companies and learn a lot about it because all my family is in the economic world, let's say that way, and I like it a lot and I wanna be part of it.
What does your family do back home?
My dad works in Nissan. He sells, and my mom is a teacher.
Yeah. Talk about some on the personal side, some of the things other than tennis and your academic side. What are some of the things that you're involved in?
In the SAC, I go to SAC like Alexis did sometimes last year, and actually I like a lot to go to play soccer, for example. It's not an organization, but it's let's say a hobby. Because from back home, soccer is our culture also, and I like it a lot. And I like to go to out to the field and kick a little bit. I need to be careful because of tennis, but I mean, if you take care, you can enjoy it.
When you mentioned soccer, Coach Hose's over there clapping for you. Talk a little bit about, I'm going to give you the same, my final question, the same question I give Alexis. What's the one thing that might surprise people about Luis?
Well, when I was, I think I was 13, I had to pick one sport because I was in high-level competition of skiing in a very good soccer club in Barcelona, and I was also playing tennis in a high level. So, like, each one of my coaches told me, you gotta pick one, you gotta go for one sport, you cannot keep doing three sports because that's not good for your body.
What made you pick tennis? Was that your favorite sport, or maybe the one you thought you excelled more at?
I think that's the one I excelled more in that moment. I like it a lot. It's an individual sport. You gotta do everything by yourself. You depend on yourself. You work hard. You get out of the court. You practice. You get your results. And well, this season they're coming, so that's okay. Good.
Luis, thank you very much. We appreciate it. Let's give Luis a nice round of applause.
Thank you very much.
Luis Altamiris of the Bearcat tennis team. When we come back, we're going to have Coach Dorrell of the Bearcat football team. John will have the interview with Coach Dorrell. We'll do that right after this 60-second timeout. You're in tune to the Bearcat Coaches Show live at Carson's right here on KXCV, your flagship of the Bearcat Radio Network.
Support for this Bearcat sports broadcast comes from Carson Sports Grill, located at 310 North Main, offering lunch and dinner meals for dine-in or carry-out. Carson's, featuring a selection of sandwiches, appetizers, and more. For more information, call 582-2699. Today's Bearcat Radio Network broadcast is underwritten by Edward Jones Financial Advisor J.R. Kurz, offering retirement and investment advice at 119 East 4th in Maryville. More information available at 660-582-7196.
This broadcast on the Bearcat Radio Network is brought to you by the Northwest Medical Center of Albany, Missouri. The Northwest Medical Center offers ambulatory and general surgery, cardiac rehabilitation, dietary counseling, and occupational therapy at 705 North College in Albany, Missouri. Support for today's Bearcat broadcast comes from A&G Restaurant in Maryville. A&G provides a sit-down menu, banquet rooms, and catering located at 208 North Main in Maryville. More information available at agrestaurant.com. Today's broadcast is brought to you by MTE Office Center with locations in Maryville and Cameron, providing computers, printing, networking, furniture, and office supplies since 1935. MTE Office Center at 216 East 3rd in Maryville and 811 South Walnut in Cameron.
And welcome back to Carson Sports Grill in downtown Maryville on the KXCV Bearcat Coaches Show, joined now by the head coach of the Northwest Missouri State football team, Adam Dorrell.
Thank you.
AD, a trip out to Kearney, Nebraska this past Saturday, and he came back with a win over Nebraska Kearney, 37-13. And one of those games where it seemed like the first half, both teams were just kind of trying to establish a little bit, kind of fill out each other a little bit before he really got some things going there in the second
half. Yeah, it was. It was a good trip. You know, it was the first time out there. I've never been there before. Good facilities. They were a good addition to the league. They've got a lot of nice stuff, nice town. So they're going to be a tough team. You know, it was a little bit of a challenge for us. We're going into the game, and we knew right away getting there that they were going to put their receiver at quarterback. And it took a little bit for us defensively to figure out what they were doing. They run a lot of option on balance formations, and we got adjusted to it and played really well on defense. And, you know, finally made some plays, I thought, in the third and fourth quarter and took over the game. So, you know, it was good to see. Todd Adolph kicked really well again on his field goals. He missed the one right there at 42 yards. All those field goals, like we talked about after the game, were into the wind. So, I was very proud of his effort. And, you know, our punter kicked really well again. The kid, Goodburn, his sophomore, is third in the country right now punting. And the University of Nebraska-Kearney in six punts had 4 yards on return. And just honestly, when a punter's punting that well, that means he's directional punting. He's putting that thing out of bounds. So, you know, there's some things obviously we got to clean up. But, you know, anytime you can go on the road and get a win. And I know those guys were down a little bit, their record-wise, but that's a proud program. Those guys are used to winning football games. They got a bunch of tough kids. And obviously, they played hard throughout the game.
I thought one of the things, and you touched upon this a little bit as well, when they were forced to move a wide receiver to the quarterback position, and really he only had 3 days really of practice that week to get ready for the game, and it seemed like they did a lot of things to keep, and he played some quarterback in high school, which obviously was a help, but they kept things simple, and he didn't make any mistakes out there. He stayed within the game plan and even was able to go to the air a little bit.
No, I agree with you, John. I told our coaching staff that after the game. I've been in their shoes before, and I was actually working at one of my other jobs, and that's not easy to do, and the fact that they could move that kid there, and it's not just move him there. They changed drastically their packages and their formations. They did a really good job. And like you said, the best thing, you know, I'm going into that game, I'm watching the kid throw. I'm like, you know, we're going to get these guys into third and long situations, and we're going to get some interceptions today. And we just couldn't do it. And he just, and credit to him, he never threw the ball up there for grabs. So I – kids, my hat's off to him and their coaching staff. They did a really good job of making something, you know, out of not a lot in a very short period of time.
I know, talking with you on the post game, it really presented challenges for your defensive coaches because they had to kind of adjust on the fly as well as far as when you went into it. You really didn't know exactly what you kind of had an idea what they wanted to do, but still you kind of had to map things out there on the sideline during the first half.
Yeah, well, I go into the I go to Rich's office on Thursday, Coach Wright's, and he's on the internet. I'm like, what is he doing? And he was researching the kid from high school and what the kid went, where the kid went to high school. And we found out where he went to high school. And we just happened to know a couple guys in that conference, Coach Boswick did, and made some phone calls. So it wasn't even close. The kid ran like split back veer option in high school. But it does. You know, everybody thinks, well, it's, you know, a kid doesn't play quarterback, you should just shut him down. When it does present challenges for you, when you're not ready and you don't know what you're going to see, and quite honestly, you've shown your kids something all week, and they weren't doing it, you know, anything close to that. So, I was proud of our coaches and our kids, the way they adjusted.
I thought another key for UNK was their offensive line performed well, making some adjustments, and that running back Flanagan in the backfield was a heck of a player as well.
Yeah, they're tough. I mean, they're just the type of kid they get and where they get. You know, they recruit those kids from Western Nebraska and Wyoming and Colorado, and the type of kid they get a tough kid, and that's what they're looking for. And, you know, I don't know. Again, everybody's new, and the Bearcat Nation, I know I talked to a few people Sunday or Monday in the game, and they just, wow, are you expecting that type of game? And I really was. I mean, those guys are used to winning. They've done well. They won a playoff game last year, and so it didn't surprise me the type of effort we got from them.
And I thought, too, defensively, one of the things that they did a very good fundamental job of tackling.
Oh, they did. They did a great job of tackling. You know, I was – that's one of those things I thought we were going to be able to get Jordan out in space a little bit, maybe James, and we didn't do a very good job of it. And, you know, that's something we've got to continue to improve upon. But they did a really good job tackling.
Now, offensively in the second half, you were able to get some things going and put some points up on the board there in the second half.
Yeah, you know, the best thing that we did, you know, you can – look at things that maybe you should have done better or could have done better. But, you know, the thing that we did, we were +3 in the turnover battle. But we didn't turn the ball over once the whole day. And we hadn't done that all year, so I was very proud of our kids for that. That's been a point of emphasis for us. Take care of the football. Don't turn it over. We didn't throw any interceptions. We didn't fumble the football. On the flip side of that, we had two turnovers. Our defense caused two fumbles, obviously. Colin DeBeiser's one was just phenomenal. And then Billy Creason on kickoff caused one, and we ended up getting 3 points out of it. So +3 on the day, you know, that's just you're going to win. You've got a chance to win a lot of football games statistically if you can do that.
And again, for the second week in a row, going with two quarterbacks, the Seals and Bulls both went out and did some good things for you on Saturday.
They really did. I was proud of their effort. Again, the thing that I was really impressed with, John, is the fact that you worry about young quarterbacks like that about trying to do too much and throw the ball up in the air for grabs, and you know, they didn't do that. You know, there's a couple times that, you know, Seals, I would like to see him be a little bit more aggressive down the field with some of his throws, some of our play-action stuff we thought we had set up. But, you know, you go back and look at it, hey, at least he didn't throw an interception, wasn't putting it up in the air. So.
Yeah, it seemed like when you look at some of the receivers in the day they had, Tyler Saw had a big day for you.
He did. He did really well on his route running and catching the football. You know, we're still continuing to improve with Tyler. You know, his big thing is everybody knows he's fast, so people are placing a big emphasis on trying to be physical with him at the line of scrimmage and hitting and jam him. And, you know, we try to counteract that by moving him around and motioning him and doing some things like that. But if you look at his big plays, he did a really good job of getting released off the ball and getting home.
And good to go on the road, get a win on the road. And you're going to be on the road an awful lot here in another, for all of October, and we'll talk a little bit more about that later. But good to go out there and get a good conference win on the road.
It is. You know, anytime you go somewhere you've never been before, there's always that factor of how your team's going to play. And we had a great trip, you know. The thing I've really challenged the kids on, and something we've always done at Northwest, is just to enjoy the experience. And it's more than just playing on Saturday. It's part of being together. We have a lot of fun when we travel, and you know, just to see our kids together having fun and laughing. It's sometimes it's good to get away and get on the bus, and you know, we always eat well on the road, and our guys, they do that very well. They eat well, and it's just fun to see them interact together and have fun. And when you get kids from Iowa to Florida, you know, you just get a chance to see those kids interact together and grow as a team. It's that's one of the things that makes me feel very appreciative of the job I have.
What do you feel is the biggest thing that came out of the win on Saturday?
Didn't get anybody really injured. We had a few nicks and nags, but I think all those guys are going to be back, so that was important. You know, I think we grew as a team because the turnover thing, we didn't turn the ball over on offense. And you know, it's maybe not the most flashiest style of football right now, and obviously, you know, I would like to play better offensively, and I think we can, and I think we will. But when you win the turnover battle, and you're playing as good as we are on defense, and you're playing as good as we are on special teams, I mean, that's a pretty good recipe for football. And like I said, it's not flashy, but those are the things that win you a lot of football games.
And I think when you talk about growing as a team, look at that game. You talked about Todd Adolph and the field goals early in the game really kind of kept you up. The defensive touchdown as well, and the job they did, and then the punting and good burn, as you mentioned. And then by that point, you were playing with the lead, and then you had a chance for the offense to get rolling there in the second half. So, again, a pretty good team effort out of it.
Yeah, and again, you know, the things, looking at what we did, you know, offensively in the third and fourth quarter, you know, we did a good job of making adjustments. I thought our offensive coaches did at halftime, and our kids came out and executed that. So anytime, you know, when you're playing with a couple new quarterbacks, and we had a center and a couple guys in there, hadn't played a bunch, you know, that's what makes you grow as a team. You can practice all you want, but you kind of got to get in the fire a little bit. And it's almost better sometimes when things don't go perfect. You can learn more about your team and learn more about the kids you have when things aren't going perfect and kids have to make adjustments.
And we're talking with Northwest Missouri State football coach Adam Dorland, and we'll talk about Northeastern State here in just a second. But I'd like to remind people here at Carson's that if there are six tables right now that were given a winner certificate. And if you are one of the tables where that certificate is there, you should see Rodney after the show, and you can receive a hat or a T-shirt from Student Body here in Maryville. So look for those, and a chance to be a winner here tonight on the KXCV Bearcat Coaches Show. And AD, let's now look ahead. You got Northeastern State coming to town on Saturday. It should be overflow crowd at Bearcat Stadium with family weekend, a great atmosphere, and match up with a new team to the conference in Northeastern State.
Yeah, it is. We're really excited. You know, the thing that we've talked about all week, our captains have and our seniors, is just, you know, we just want to be passionate and play with a lot of energy Saturday. It's the last time we're going to be home until November. I mean, it's really hard, you know, to believe it, to say that, to think, man, we're going to go on the road every weekend in October. And, you know, I know that hit home with our kids when we talked about that Sunday. I don't think some of them realized that. And, you know, family weekend's always been really important at Northwest. You know, the kids' family is going to be there. Our families, coaches are going to be there. And we're just really excited about the opportunity, John, to get out there and play with, again, with a lot of passion, a lot of enthusiasm, and you know, be physical. Excited about playing a new football team, and we're going to see what we can get done.
You look at Northeastern State, their record coming in 0-4, but their losses go to Pittsburgh State, Missouri Southern, Washburn, and Emporia State. And really, with the exception of the Pittsburgh State game, they've been in every game.
Yeah, they have. They were driving at the end of the game to beat Washburn. They were in the Emporia State game. Emporia State scored a couple touchdowns late to go up. And, you know, Emporia State's 4-0, Pitt's 4-0, Washburn's 3-1. You know, the thing I've been telling people and telling the media all week, when you see them in warm-ups, you'll know that they're a good football team. They passed the eyeball test. You know, they have three kids from transferred from Oklahoma State. They've got some Division I transfer kids. They've got a lot of junior college kids. So they look very athletic on the hoof. When you watch them on film, they look very athletic. So it's going to be a challenge.
And what are some of the things that you want to try to accomplish against them, as far as attacking some of the things that they offer?
Well, you know, when you look at the other team, you always try to find a weakness. To me, the biggest place that they're weak is on special teams. all their special teams. I think we can beat them in the special teams all day. You know, kick return, punt return. You know, I feel like if we can get a body on a body on kick return, we can get home. Their punter's averaging 24 yards a punt right now, and he's a talented punter, but they have him rugby punt all the time, and he's kicking the ball 24 yards. And they've had four punts returned for a touchdown. A couple of them were called back. But so we placed a big emphasis on special teams this week. You know, Simmons trying to field the ball and go and get home. And it's a challenge with a rugby punter. And they have a really good kick return man, number 20. So, you know, you just kick the ball away from him and make the other guy try to work against you. So that's the biggest place where I think we can gain a lot of momentum in the football game early. You know, after that, you know, their quarterback's a transfer kid from Oklahoma State. He's played up and down a little bit. He played really good against Pittsburgh State. He threw a couple late touchdowns last week. And then the kick returner I'm talking about, number 20, he makes them go on offense. He's short kid to the ground, and he just hits the hole vertically, and you'll see him, and we've got to stop him. We've got to get them into passing downs. And then their quarterback, what we've seen when he is fluid and he's poised and nobody's in his face, he throws a beautiful ball. He throws on time, and he's very accurate, and he'll pick you apart. But what we've seen is when people get in his face or he's got to adjust his mechanics a little bit, then you can throw him off. So that's what we're going to try to do on defensively and offensively. You know, they play with a two-safety look. They're, you know, trying to beg you to run the ball a little bit and throw short passes, and so that's what we need to do.
You talked about rugby punters. It seems like in the last couple of years, you're seeing a lot more of that around. Is that a growing trend, do you think, or is just the
matter? Yeah, it is. What they do, John, and you'll see, I think Coach Gordon told me they've ran to this date 10 different pump formations. So what they're trying to do is they're trying to present to you a look that you don't know what they're going to do and which way you're going. As far as the protection goes, they'll do an unbalanced rugby, and then they shift in motion to it. And so all they're trying to do is prevent you from rushing the punt and blocking the punt. So it is a big deal in college football right now. The other end of that is it's a lot easier to find a rugby punter, so to speak, than it is a good traditional punter.
And one other thing to talk about is you face a Northeastern State team. You're not totally unfamiliar with that Northeastern State. After you left here as your playing days, you went as a grad assistant down to Tahlequah.
Yeah, I did. I had a short stint at Northeast Oklahoma. We were the Redmen at the time. I tell you, it was my first. I grew up in Maryville, lived in Maryville my whole life. I played for Mel Churchman. I tell people it's the equivalent to working for your grandfather or Santa Claus, either way you look at it. The guy was a phenomenal football coach, but he was a phenomenal person. And, you know, we had really good kids, and we still do. And then, you know, I made that transition down to Tahlequah, and it was a cultural shock for me. We had a lot of transfer kids, and I was in charge of the football dorm on the third and fourth floor, and that was a very eye-opening experience for me. So, yeah, it's funny. I still keep in contact with a couple of kids. Some of those kids coach down at some of the big schools down in Tulsa, Jinx and Union, and I still can't keep in contact with them. But, yeah, it was a good learning experience.
All right. Again, time now to check and go over some of the questions that the folks here at Carson Sports Grill that are watching and listening to the program tonight have passed along. And we want to bring Mark Rosewell and Tracy Hills up, too, if we have a chance. But right
Come
now,
on, Rosie.
AD, let's talk about one of the questions here deals with what do you see as the biggest challenge for the remainder of the season?
I think continuity. I just look at where we're at offensively right now, and I think if we can get people back practicing, and I think we'll just get some continuity. So that's going to be the biggest challenge for us right now. Other than that, you know, just any other coach, you want to stay healthy. And you know, if you get better, I tell the kids if you can get better each day, each week, And you want to be playing your best football mid to late in the season. And, you know, we're certainly not there yet, but our kids are working hard, and they're going that way.
All right, next question for Mark Rosewell. And so as most people know that Mark is a tennis player as well as a tennis coach, and you've seen out on the tennis courts earlier this week, and just wanted to know how that match came out.
Not very well, John, since you were the opponent.
I thought it was a nice match. I like it. But seriously, there's a question that someone wants to know. Really, what do you expect out of the team the rest of the going forward the springtime now?
Well, like I said, I think we've got a chance to be seeded on the men, probably one or two in the region, and the women probably two or three. That's a heck of a start. And, you know, try to stay injury-free, and I think, you know, time will tell.
All right, Edie, here's a question for you. I'm wanting to know if you enjoy the cannon from across the street.
Love the cannon from across the street. That gets our kids jacked up, and I always forget it's going off early, and it kind of kind of spooks me a little bit. Yeah, but that's awesome. I'd like to see them rev it up a little bit. I've a couple of those guys I've gotten to know. One of them works at Hy-Vee, and I always give him a hard time. They're not putting enough powder in there, so...
All right, and here's another question from a listener, Alex Rice, 6 years old here, and wants to know, will you throw a Hail Mary touchdown pass?
If it's before half, I hope. If it's at the end of the game, that's bad deal for the Bearcats. So, yeah, we'll try it. I don't know, we call it go for broke. We did it a couple years ago with Jake Soy at the UNO game. So, yeah, we actually practice it every Thursday, and we did complete it today. So.
And Alex says he loves the Bearcats, so I think a lot of people are in that line there, too.
Yeah, absolutely.
Of course, the Hail Mary might work if you have the replacement refs come over and help out a little bit, too.
I'll leave that one alone.
All right. And another question here, too, comes with Northwest has a fine coaching staff, and I want to know who they are and what their responsibilities are.
Sure. Our defensive staff, Coach Wright is assistant head coach, and he coaches the defensive line. Coach Gordon is our special teams coordinator and coaches the secondary. Coach Bostwick is our linebackers coach, and all those guys do some different duties, administrative work like we all do, and they all have a different recruiting area. On offense, Coach Osborne is our receivers coach and recruiting coordinator. Coach Floor is our quarterback's coach, and he's our offensive coordinator, and then I coach the offensive line. We have a host of student coaches, graduate assistant coaches, and they all have some different responsibilities, too.
Also, Mark, I know you also credit a lot of your success to the various graduate assistants and coaches that you have that come up under you, and you've got a number of guys that have gone on and had a lot of success coaching on their own that you go up against every year now.
Really do. I think we're getting close to maybe 10 that are coaching at the Division One or Two level, and we're certainly very proud of that coming out of our program. And you know, Drury University, Nebraska Kearney, DePaul, UMKC, Baker University, St. Louis U.
There's a kid out of California.
Yeah,
he's at Cal Poly or something.
They beat Texas in the regionals last year. Yeah, so we've had Las Vegas. Got one there. Hey, I got a question for you, AJ.
I'll just step back here.
Who's your favorite driver ed teacher when you
Coach
were in high school?
Coach Rosewell. Hands down. He was always reading the sports section while I was driving.
Did a good grade out of that. All right. And, AD, again, big weekend coming up, family weekend here. Should be a heck of an atmosphere out there.
Yeah, we're just really tried to challenge people to come out to the game. I know we'll have a big crowd, be loud, be a factor in the game. And, you know, I think our fans feel the same way. It's kind of, we won't be back home until November. So, you know, October is the best, in my opinion, the best football month of the year. It's just awesome, and the weather starts changing. So, yeah, we're excited about having a big crowd and hope everybody comes out.
All right. Thanks to all the coaches involved with their show again this week, Mark Roswell, Adam Dorr, also Tracy Hosa, and a couple of players on Mark's tennis team for coming out and being a part of the KXCV Bearcat Coaches Show. And again, we'll be back here next Thursday at 6 o'clock. Don't forget, a lot of activities going on the Northwest campus this weekend. Northwest Soccer at home as they host Northeastern State at 4 o'clock tomorrow. Northwest Volleyball tomorrow night at Bearcat Arena as they take on Southwest Baptist before going on the road. The cross-country teams compete Saturday in the Roy Gryak Invitational in Minneapolis, Minnesota. Again, volleyball on the road Saturday at Truman State. Soccer back here on Sunday at 1 o'clock with Central Oklahoma. And the Northwest Golf Team will be hosting the Bearcat Classic next Thursday and Friday. So a lot going on. Big weekend on the Northwest campus with it being the family weekend activities. And we'll have the broadcast of the Bearcat Northeastern State football game for you on Saturday afternoon. It's a 2:30 kickoff airtime on KXCV KRNW at 1:30. With Bearcat Game Day. Again, my thanks to everyone involved with the broadcast here, along with Rodney Harris. I'm John Coffey. We'll be right back here again next week at Carson Sports Grill for another edition of the KXCV Bearcat Coaches Show.